go ahead and turn there. We'll eventually get around to it. It's a pleasure being with you all. I'm always honored just to come, be encouraged, be built up by men of God. And your fellowship is sweet, I'll tell you that right now. Special thanks to Harold here. I joke with people, they're like, who's Harold Smith? I'm like, well, basically he's the Baptist Pope of Arkansas. That's basically who Harold is. No, more accurately, Harold, thank you, brother. You're a pastor to pastors in a lot of ways, so thanks for your ministry. Thanks for being a good friend. I actually was nodding my head back there. He's not just, you know, telling people he has friends. He actually has friends. So that's true. Charles Spurgeon, when he would go up to preach, he would recite to himself, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. When he would approach the pulpit, when he would preach before any congregation. And Lloyd-Jones talks about the dependency upon the Holy Spirit in preaching in his book, Preaching and Preachers. In his last chapter on this subject, he says, what is meant by this unction or anointing of the Spirit? It is the Holy Spirit falling upon the preacher in a special manner. It is an access to power. It is God-giving power and enabling through the Spirit. To the preacher, in order that he may do this work in a manner that lifts it up beyond the efforts and endeavors of man to a position in which the preacher is being used by the Spirit and becomes the channel through whom the Spirit works. As preachers, as pastors, we are oftentimes well aware of the role and nature of the Spirit when it comes to our preaching. But this morning, what I want to preach on is something addressed in Acts chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, which read, of course, this is the context where the first deacons, the proto deacons were assigned in the early church. Acts 6, verse 3 and 4 read this. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. This business being caring to the widows that were being neglected in the ministry in the mercy ministries. Goes on to say, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. What I want to preach on this morning is what it means to pray in the Spirit. And I want to apply that to the work of pastoral ministry in prayer. So as pastors, as preachers, we not only need to prioritize preaching accompanied by the Spirit of God, but we also need to prioritize our prayer being accompanied by the Spirit of God. So praying in the Spirit, I'm going to argue, should be the normal way a Christian prays. So the pastor should exemplify that, should be the model of that for their church and for the saints in the Christian life. Where do we get this phrase, praying in the Spirit? And I trust, well, here's my hypothesis by the end of this. I'm going to preach, hopefully well, by the assistance of the Holy Spirit, on praying in the Spirit this morning. And because it's 9 a.m., I've got an early morning slot, I doubt that there's going to be any speaking in tongues, praying in tongues. I don't think the coffee has kicked in quite well enough yet for us to get caught up in the Spirit. Of course, you know, I'm kidding. What is it? Where do we get this phrase, praying in the Spirit, from? Ephesians 6:18, Paul exhorts the Ephesians, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So we see that phrase there, praying in the prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Jude chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." So we see references here. We know where we get the phrase from, but what exactly does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, I'm going to have John Bunyan help me out. And if he can't help me out, I'm not sure who can. Bunyan on prayer says this: "Prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit. For such things as God has promised or according to His word for the good of the church with submission and faith to the will of God." Fantastic definition of what prayer is. And we see an essential ingredient to the very nature, to the very definition of prayer, according to John Bunyan, is that prayer must be accompanied by the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit. Here's my definition of prayer. Here's my definition of praying in the Spirit that will form my three main points. Praying in the Spirit is, one, praying in truth; two, with the intercession of the Holy Spirit; three, in the fullness of the Spirit. Let me repeat that. Praying in the Spirit is praying in truth, with the intercession of the Spirit, in the fullness of the Spirit. Let's move to the first point. Let's start right off. We must pray in the truth. If our prayers are going to be anything, they must be truthful. We must pray. Why must our prayers be truthful? It's because we need to pray in the language of the Holy Spirit. We cannot pray in a language contrary to God, contrary to the very Spirit that is going to, as we'll see later, intercede for us on our behalf to the Father. The language coming out of our mouths must be the language that the Spirit speaks. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. Read this: "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but by which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So what is Paul saying here to the Corinthians in his first letter to them? The end of that passage really hits the nail on the head. "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches." So what wisdom, what revelation has come from God? It wasn't derived from man. Paul's not even attributing it to himself. Paul is bearing witness, saying, "What wisdom I have received, what teaching is being revealed to you, does not come by man, but has come from the very Spirit of God." Comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. So we see that revelation comes from the Holy Spirit. This is why the very Bible that we're reading now and the very Bible that we hold in our hands and that all of us preach from week after week, this is how it is the inspired Word of God. Because because revelation has come from the Holy Spirit means that 2 Timothy 3:16 can say that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is perfectly sufficient, or as the Scripture says, profitable to the end that every man would be built up, made ready, made perfect for every good work. 2 Peter 1:20 through 21 says that that no interpretation of Scripture came from the wisdom or the mind of man, but by holy men spoke as they were moved or carried along by the Holy Spirit. So what is the language of the Spirit? If we're going to pray in the Spirit, if we are going to pray in truth, what language must we use? We must use the language that the Spirit has given to us. The language of the Holy Spirit is the Scripture. So we must pray to God using His own words. I once met a young woman. My wife and I were shopping somewhere, and I was bored, so I started evangelizing. I met this young woman in one of the stores, and she went to a local church in the area, and we were just, I forget how the conversation got struck up, but we got to the point where she said, well, I really love, you know, I really go to church for the worship portion of church, and I don't really get much out of the preaching. I said, well, why is that? Why don't you get much out of the preaching? And she responded to me, she's like, well, I feel like that the worship part of the service is where the Holy Spirit communicates and connects with you, and the preaching is where you pick up life lessons. The sad thing is that's probably true at most churches, in the sense that that's what they are offering. But I went on to talk about this theme, talk about this truth. I said, well, are you aware of how the Bible came to being? Do you know how we got the Bible? And do you know, that it wasn't just written by man? And I'm telling her, look, the Bible was quoted to her, that 2 Peter passage 1, verses 20 through 21. And it said, these human authors were inspired, were motivated, were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so I said, don't you think that if you're going to hear from the Spirit, it would be from the book that the Spirit wrote? If you want to hear the words of the Spirit, why not listen to the book? Why not read the book that the Spirit has authored? If you want to hear the very words of the Holy Spirit, if you want to hear from God or have a spiritual encounter, why don't you read what He wrote? If you want to hear from the Spirit, and of course, singing hymns is prescribed by the Lord for us to do on Sunday morning. But that's not where you're going to receive your revelation from God. And so the language of the Spirit is the Scripture. Therefore, what is prayer? Prayer, if we're going to pray in the truth, prayer is a response to the revealed truth of God given to us in the Word. That's what prayer is. Prayer is responding to the communication that God has given to us. So what do we need to do then? We need to take the very words, the Spirit-inspired words, and use this as our basis for communicating back to God. If we're going to approach God, we need to use His language. We need to speak the truth back to Him. And so many times we see examples of this in all of Scripture. We see the prophets in the Old Testament reminding God what He has revealed. The apostles in the New Testament praying to God based upon what they know to be true in Jesus Christ. Lord, Your word, reminding God of what He has established, what He has communicated, what He has set in place to be true. So we pray that back to God. We pray in the language of the Spirit. Just like if you're going to communicate with your friend, or if you're a missionary communicating, going to preach and labor in a foreign land, you have to learn the language to to be able to communicate. When we're communicating with God in prayer, when we approach God, we need to speak His language, and the Lord speaks truth. A couple points of application here. The book of Psalms are prayers. You can pray those and other prayers in the Bible, find where people are praying and read and study those prayers, and this will help to model how we should pray. So in times of spiritual dryness, I myself go to the Psalms, and this is what I commend in counseling as well. Say, look, if you're having trouble praying, go to the Psalms. If you're sinning, don't know how to repent, go to Psalm 51 and pray a prayer that God inspired, that you're reading in the Spirit-inspired book, back to God. Lord, I'm weak. Lord, I'm in sin. I'm struggling. I can't muster my own words of repentance out of my mouth. I need your help. Use a prayer of repentance, a God-inspired prayer of repentance in the Psalms. Give God's words back to Him. Confess, use God's own inspired book as a guide of confession when you can't muster your own words of confession. And this will grease the spiritual wheels in your dry and stony heart. And then eventually, after praying God's words back to Him, it will personally develop your own words, based upon the truth, will start flourishing. They'll start trickling out. And then all of a sudden, that dry land of your heart, by praying God's words back to Him, there will be water seeping up through the cracks. The Spirit will use His own word that He inspired to produce in you faith. Pray this, Pastor. Pray this way. Pray in a way that God has prescribed and is modeling you for you to pray. Take hold of the grace that He's given you. The Lord has been so kind to model through various people. The Psalms is the best examples, but He has modeled for you. He's given you the training wheels of faith that He's been so gracious to provide for us, even like when we're sick. When we're dry, like what I'm explaining here, what I'm describing here, He gives us the remedy. He gives us the little breadcrumbs to increase our faith. He gives us a helping hand when we are at our lowest. The Lord has not left us without help. So the book of Psalms are prayers. They not only model for us how to pray in our spiritual lows, but they also help model for us how to pray when we are on the spiritual mountaintops. So many times when we're on the spiritual high, on the spiritual mountaintops, our prayers can become about us. Both instances. When we're in our spiritual lows, our prayers are about us. And when we're in our spiritual highs, our prayers can be about us. But what we see modeled is, how do we pray faithfully even when things are going well? You know, how do we give thanks appropriately? And we can pray this way and model this for our churches and prescribe this in our counseling. We minister to people all the time who are needing these spiritual breadcrumbs, needing instruction on how to pray, how to repent, how to commune with the Lord in this way. And let's use the words of the Holy Spirit to guide ourselves and to guide our people in that. Secondly, second point of application, use the prayers of Paul and others to know how to pray for your congregation. Use the prayers of Paul's and others to know how to pray for your congregation. When you're interceding on behalf of your church, when you're asking the Lord to fulfill the joy in your church, like Paul wanted to fulfill the joy of the churches that he was planting, that he would labor that their joy may be fulfilled. Learn how to pray on behalf of your congregation from these inspired prayers, from these in, from the very words that the Spirit gave to Paul to write, you can plagiarize those. You can. Those are free for the taking. That's the purpose in which they were there, so that you might know how to pray for your people. Take up these tools. Take up these abundant resources and model your supplication, your prayer for your congregation after the Apostle Paul, which was inspired by the Spirit to write these things. Speak the language of the Holy Spirit in your prayer. If you want to pray in the Spirit, you've got to use the language of the Holy Spirit. Second, the Holy Spirit intercedes in our prayers. So if we're going to pray in the Spirit, first we need to pray in the truth, and now we need to pray with the understanding that the Holy Spirit is interceding on our behalf while we are praying, in the very moment in which we are in prayer. Intercession is what we do when we pray for others. Many of you already know that. So intercession is praying on behalf of someone else. I want to take this moment, and I'll pray for him at the end, but there's a pastor who is supposed to be here, and he was admitted into the hospital, a mental health facility after that, for the only thing I could see online was a deep depression, or what someone described as a mental breakdown. This brother's name is Brian, and I prayed, and I heard about it last night, woke up, wanted to intercede on his behalf this morning. We need to intercede for this brother. We need to pray on behalf of someone else. This is what the Bible talks about when it's saying, bear one another's burdens. You pray for this thing as if it was your burden to bear. You pray on behalf of this brother. You intercede on behalf of your people. Someone who's going through a particular trial, you intercede on their behalf as if it was your burden to bear. That's what it means to bear someone else's burden. You lift it up to God as if it was your own. So intercession is what we do when we pray for other people. It's an amazing, amazing truth. Yes, we need to pray with the words of the Spirit. We need to pray in the truth. But this truth here will change your prayer life. When you realize to the extent in which the Holy Spirit Himself is interceding on your behalf to God the Father every time you lift up words in prayer. Even from the simplest prayer that you pray before your meals, or when you are dealing with the most significant trial in your life and ministry, the Spirit is interceding for you. Romans 8, 26 through 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There's two things that I want to pull out and focus in on these couple verses. The first is that these verses show us our need for intercession. We are weak and do not know how to pray as we ought. We're like the disciples in the garden where Jesus asked, can you not even pray an hour? And most times we can't. We go into prayer and so many times we don't even know what to pray. Or we pray the wrong things unknowingly. Prayer is said to be the most difficult spiritual and pastoral discipline. People are going to notice if we stop showing up to preach on Sunday mornings. Clearly evident. They're going to wonder why they keep paying you if you keep doing that. But what goes unnoticed is your people never see, our people never see how much we pray. Your wife may see it, your family may see it, but the church rarely has that insight. It's not an obvious discipline. It's not one of these things that are clearly evident. So this is why it's one of the most difficult ones. And it's difficult because, as the scripture says, we are weak in this area. We are weak and we do not know how to pray. What does this mean? This means that oftentimes we do not know what to pray. Like this morning when I was praying for this brother, I don't exactly know what is going on or how to pray for him. But I do know that the Spirit and God the Father knows exactly what this brother needs. So as I'm praying for him, I'm confessing to the Lord my weakness. Lord, I do not know how to pray for this brother. I'm limited in my understanding. I'm coming to you, but don't even know exactly what he needs. But I do know that the Spirit is interceding on my behalf as I am interceding on this brother's behalf. So he is fixing everything wrong in my prayers. When I'm praying the wrong thing, the Spirit is fixing it. I'm trying to pray in the truth, but where there is error, the Holy Spirit is coming back and editing my prayers, making them right before God the Father. The second thing is, I don't know what to pray for really any time that I'm praying. We don't have the line of sight, the vantage point that God has. So all of our prayers are going up incomplete. This is what it means to be weak in prayer. We're not good at it. It's the hardest spiritual discipline. We don't ever really know what to pray for, the full picture. We can't ever pray the full picture. And all of our prayers are mixed with error. Pretty drastic situation there. I'm young enough, if you couldn't tell, I'm pretty young. I'm young enough to remember like when cell phones just started coming out. And we got fairly good reception now, but in the early days it was like, hey, I'm paying for a phone plan, but I'm about getting 50% out of it right now. That's what our prayers are like. It's spotty cell phone reception. It's the communication doesn't go through. This is our weakness. We are incapacitated. We need a mediator. We need an intercession in our prayers. Now, the second thing I want to pull out is not just our weakness in these few verses, but we also see how exactly the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. And this is the truth that will change your prayer life, or it should change your prayer life. The Spirit personally, one of the persons of the Trinity, God Himself personally is interceding on your behalf. So there's a personal dwelling and attention that you are receiving to make sure your prayers not only get to God the Father, if we can understand it in that way, but that they are made right before God the Father. It's personal representation, as if just in a similar way as if you would hire an attorney to personally represent you before a legal body. The Holy Spirit Himself is your representative, is your intercessor, is interceding for you in your prayers before God the Father. He not only does it he's not doing it out of obligation, but read what it says there. The Holy Spirit is interceding on your behalf with groanings. That word can be translated also as sighs, with sighs, or with pleading, or with longing. That the Holy Spirit wants what you are praying for more than you want what you are praying for. The Holy Spirit cares about your trial or your circumstances or your suffering more than you care about your trial or your circumstances or your suffering. The Holy Spirit is groaning on the behalf of your prayers. As passionate as you are, as needy as you are before the Father, the Holy Spirit is even more needy for your care than the prayer, than even the words of your prayers that you are lifting up. When you're giving prayers of praise and prayers of joy, the Holy Spirit is giving more praise and more joy than you can muster before the Father. He's interceding on your behalf with pleading, with groaning, with sighs. It's a personal and effectual and a longing intercession in your prayer. As I've said before, the Spirit, so the two problems in our prayers, that our prayers are always mixed with error and we can never pray the full picture. We can never pray in accordance with the perfect will of God. The Holy Spirit fixes those two things. The Holy Spirit in our prayers, if you can imagine it like this, this is actually how it works, but if you can imagine it like this, that your words go up to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit edits them and brings them before the Father, what He does is fixes both of those errors. He makes your broken and partial prayers up to God the Father. He takes them and He makes them whole before they get to the Father's ears. He fixes both of those problems where we can only pray from a position where all of our prayers are mixed with error, or sometimes mixed with motives. We got righteous and unrighteous motives in many of our prayers. The Spirit makes the prayers righteous. The Spirit takes our mixed motive prayers and sifts out the bad and leaves the pure. He takes the prayer mixed with error and makes it perfectly true. The second thing the Spirit does is where we can only pray from that finite perspective. We can't pray with the perfect, infinite, perfect will of God. The Holy Spirit takes our prayers and puts them before God the Father in a way that is in perfect accordance with His perfect will. He takes our prayers from a finite perspective and says, Lord, this is how, He says, Father, this is how this fits in Your perfect will. Petitions, intercedes for you before the Father, making your prayers whole, making your prayers righteous, making them without error, putting them perfectly before God the Father in accordance with His infinite and perfect will. This is how Paul in Ephesians 3, 20 through 21 can write, Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, reference to the Holy Spirit, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. How is it that the Lord does far more abundantly than all that we ask or think? It's because what we're asking, what we're thinking, is being made whole before God the Father. So we pray one thing, and the Lord brings abundance. And it's because that's what the Spirit asked the Father for. And God delivered exactly what the Spirit asked for in accordance with the Godhead's perfect plan. Two clarifying quotes here. Austin Phelps, in his book, The Still Hour, talks about the Holy Spirit being active in this way in prayer, in this way. He says, a holy prayer is the Spirit of God speaking through the infirmities of a human soul. The divine mind communicating with itself through finite wants, through the woes of helplessness, through the clinging instincts of weakness. It's the Lord communicating with Himself through your helplessness, through your finiteness, through your insufficient, broken prayers, the Lord communicates with Himself. John Ruther, and I took a class with, he was one of my seminary professors, and he's a pastor somewhere, I don't even remember. He says this about the Spirit's work in this way in prayer. He says, praying in the Spirit is praying with a confident assurance that when I do not know what to ask for in life's distressing situations, the Holy Spirit prays for me with deep and tender longings according to the will of God, which He knows will be accomplished in me and for me. So as we are praying, the Holy Spirit is praying for us that the will of God might be accomplished. What He knows, what the Spirit knows, that knows that the will of God will accomplish in us and for us. It's a perfect prayer. It's a prayer that cannot be added to or taken away from. It's a prayer that cannot be expanded. It's a prayer that cannot be made any more effectual, any better. It's a perfect prayer. So remember this. As you are praying, the Holy Spirit is praying for you and in you. And according to the Holy Spirit who works in and through you, the Lord is answering your prayers exceedingly and abundantly greater than what you're asking or thinking in your moment of prayer. A couple points of application here as well. This changes your prayer life. Or coming to this changed my prayer life, because what I could do now is pray in peace. Understanding this allows you to pray in peace. You don't bow your head in the mornings struggling, wondering what to pray for, because the Spirit's praying for you. You don't bow your head in life circumstances, in trials, wondering what the right thing to say to God is, because the Spirit is making your prayers perfect. You don't worry about what you are praying as if God is not going to listen to it, because the Spirit is praying on your behalf. In times of prayer where you feel like your voice or your prayers aren't breaching the ceiling and above you, the Holy Spirit is praying for you and taking those words and making them perfect and bringing them before the Father. And again, this is the model in which you can intercede for your people. You can intercede for them. The Holy Spirit models for us how we intercede for others. And then you model that for your congregation, for your people, that they would bear one another's burdens, interceding for others in a way that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. All the while, the Spirit is taking all of those prayers and bringing them up before the Father, like Revelation describes, as great smelling incense before the nostrils of God. This is how prayer works. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe that prayer is one of the essentials of the Christian life. And this is why it is, because the Holy Spirit is working in and through our prayers as He makes them whole before God the Father. Because of this, leads to my third point, the last essential ingredient of what it means to pray in the Spirit. So to pray in the Spirit, we need to pray in the truth. We need to pray with the intercession of the Spirit. And lastly, we need to pray in the fullness of the Spirit. What does that word fullness mean? Well, we get a couple of biblical or theological ideas of what it means, of what fullness means. The Scripture says that in Jesus Christ, that He was a man in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. The Holy Spirit was poured out in fullness on the day of Pentecost. So what do we have in mind here from a biblical or theological mindset just from these two examples? That nothing is held back. It's not that 95% of God was pleased to dwell in the man Jesus Christ. The fullness of God was there. It's not that the Holy Spirit was restrained on the day of Pentecost, but the Holy Spirit was poured out like a vessel is poured out empty, poured out dry. Nothing is held back. Fullness is scripturally and biblically described through lifting in other ways as well. It's described as fullness. It's described as lifting up. It's described as pouring out, as what I've already mentioned. Again, the Psalms provide us great insight to this. Bear with me as I quote a few Psalms here so that we can get good examples of prayer in fullness. Psalm 25:1 says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." That word, lifting up. "I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me." Psalm 42:4, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise. With a multitude, they kept a pilgrim feast." There's that reference to pouring out. I pour out my soul within me. Psalm 45:1 says, "My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." So the psalmist there is talking about his heart overflowing with a good theme. That's a similar word or phrase there to pouring out. And lastly, Psalm 62:8 says, "Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." These are just four examples of these phrases, lifting up, pouring out, overflowing, that's riddled not just throughout the Psalms, but throughout all of Scriptures. So what does this teach us about prayer? What are, again, the Psalms modeling for us about praying in the fullness of the Spirit? Well, what this teaches us is that we should pray with open honesty. With an open honesty. That's what I'm describing as fullness or overflowing or lifting up. You're not reserving anything from the Lord. And because of my second point, because the Spirit is interceding on our behalf, there's no reason for us to be holding anything back from God. We need to pray with an open fullness, an open honesty before the Lord. Lay it all out. Put it all on the table. Don't go ahead and show all your cards to God. There's no negotiating with him. He already knows what's in your hand. Just lay it on the table. Put it all out. There's nothing hidden from him already. And you don't need to be afraid to approach him with these things. There's nothing to be afraid out of putting it all on the table before him, because the Spirit is interceding for you on your behalf. So pour out all your guilt. Pour out all your needs. Pour out all your desires. Pour out all your affections. Pour out what you want out of your ministry. Pour out the struggles in your ministry. Pour out all the blessings and the problems in your life. Give it all to God. Give him the whole hand. Lay it all out. Keep nothing from the Lord. Don't hide a thing from him. But bring it before the Father. Let the Holy Spirit take it up to God the Father perfectly. There's so many times I'm reading the Psalms, I'm like, can he pray that? It's like, wait, I didn't know I was allowed to pray that. Wait, he's praying that he's angry with his circumstances? He's praying that he's asking the Lord how long he's going to tarry, how long he's going to leave him out to dry. He's putting what seems to be putting pressure on God to answer his prayer. I'm like, wait a second. Are we allowed to pray like that? Can I pray like that and the room be okay? Am I going to get struck by lightning here? And surely the psalmist was wrong in some of his prayers. That's my point. Is that he held nothing back from the Lord. He confessed and brought to the Lord even things that we would say that's not in accordance with his will. Then the Lord taught him taught the psalmist that wasn't in accordance with his will, that it was a spiritual and a heart adjustment that was needing to take place. But the psalmist brought it to God. This is how I feel. I feel as if you have abandoned me. And we know that that's not theologically accurate. We know that that's not theologically true. But the psalmist says, Lord, how long are you going to tarry? How long are you going to let my enemies have victory over me? Have you forgot your people? Have you forgot your promises? Have you forgot your covenant? We're allowed to pray that way. Not because God is ever wrong. Not because we actually ever have a case against God. But God wants to hear your struggles. And the Spirit is making those perfect before the Father. And he's going to minister to you in your time of need. And he's going to make that heart adjustment where that heart adjustment needs to be made. The application here is that what does pouring out, what does lifting up, what does praying in the fullness of the Spirit communicate? Well, what it does is it puts you in a position of total and utter dependence. That's what it does. When you're bringing things before the Father, you're not in the driver's seat. You're not in the driver's seat. You're not going to the Lord dictating terms. What you do is what you're doing in this. Even as you're pouring out your, praying in the fullness of your desires, praying in the fullness of what you would love, what you would want out of your life and out of your ministry, even in those good things, even in your motivations, even in your affections, what you're doing is you're putting those before the Father in a state of dependence, saying, you're not going to the Lord telling him what you are going to do. You're going to the Lord saying, these are my affections. These are my struggles. These are my desires. This is my guilt. These are my needs. And I need you to deliver. It's in the way that's in accordance with his perfect will. Again, we don't often know what to pray for. You're praying these things, but the Lord's going to give you exactly what you need. So you're bringing them before the Lord for him to do what he wants with, not for you to dictate any sort of terms. So what this is communicating here is a full, total, utter dependence when you pray with open honesty. This, more than anything I've said, that position in prayer is our greatest need in ministry. It's our greatest need as we pastor, as we preach. Our greatest need in ministry is to go before the Father in this way. Let me conclude with this. Praying in the Spirit is to pray in the truth as the Spirit intercedes and in the fullness of the Spirit. That's my definition. I hope I've covered it well. Hebrews 4:16 says this. Well, let me say, it is through this kind of prayer, praying in the Spirit, it's through that kind of prayer that we can go boldly to the throne, as Hebrews 4:16 says. Hebrews 4:16 says, go boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The only way that happens is if we're praying in the Spirit. That we've been regenerated by the Spirit. That our salvation has been accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ, where now we have access to the Father, having been spiritually born again as sons and adopted as sons into the family of God. Now we have access to the throne of grace. And every time we approach that throne of grace, we are praying in the Spirit as our prayers are going before that throne, made whole, made perfect, making whole, making perfect everything that we've poured out before him in open honesty. This is how we live Hebrews 4:16. This is how we approach the throne of grace. And this is an amazing truth. Like I said, this should change your prayer life, that our prayers are made perfect before God the Father. So again, I urge you, stop holding back. Put your cards on the table. Put your ministry before the Lord, every aspect of it. Put your marriage and your family before the Lord, every aspect of it. And let the Spirit present that before the Father in a way that is more exceedingly abundantly than you can ask or think in that moment of prayer. Let's pray now. Let's pray for Brian Marlin, right? Brian Marlin, as we close. Our Father in heaven, what a precious truth this is, that even now, as we are praying together, the Spirit is taking our prayers, making them whole, and bringing them before you. Lord, help us to pray, as the disciples often said, Lord, we believe, but help our unbelief. Lord, we pray, but Lord, help us in our weakness in prayer. Help us in our neediness in prayer. Help us to pray. I pray that we would pray more now. Lord, I want to pray for Brian Marlin in particular. We want to intercede on his behalf. Lord, we pray that you would make his mind whole. As I prayed to you this morning, we don't exactly know how to pray for him. We don't know all the circumstances. But Lord, we know that you are, again, making our prayers accurate, making our prayers sufficient. The Spirit is doing that work even now. So we pray healing. We pray spiritual revival for Brian. We pray that you would make his mind whole. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.